You are Locked On Lions, your daily Detroit Lions podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, here we go, everybody. Another edition of Locked On Lions right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. We played it on a Thursday, January 17th, and a Friday, January 18th. Good evening, good morning, wherever you are listening. Thank you for tuning in right here. Matt Derry with you talking Detroit Lions football, and we'll get into it with talking about Darrell Bevell, of course. Yesterday's big news, which we continue to talk about today, the Lions have themselves a brand spanking new offensive coordinator in Darrell Bevell. Ben Baldwin from TheAthletic.com, Seattle, covers the Seahawks and has covered them for a long time, will join me momentarily to discuss what Darrell Bevell's seven-year career as offensive coordinator was like in Seattle. What kind of guy is he? What is he looking to do? What happened at the end there in Seattle? What happened at the Super Bowl in 2014-15 with Seattle? We'll get into all that and dive all into that with Ben Baldwin in a little bit right here on Locked On Lions. You can get a hold of the program and get a hold of me on Twitter. Some of your tweets I want to read to you tonight at Derry Speaks, D-E-R-Y Speaks. And it's kind of funny. It's either 0 or 100 with Lions fans right now. There are Lions fans still in, all in, and mad at me and scolding me on social media that I've been so negative lately. And they're at 100. Then we got the other fans at 0, basically saying, oh, Darrell Bevell, Stafford still sucks. This guy's a run-first guy. He only had one other interview with Jacksonville, and he couldn't even get the Jaguars offensive coordinator job. This is a terrible hire. So it's either 0 or 100. But the more I think about it, and again, we'll read those tweets at Derry Speaks on Twitter and the Matt Derry Facebook fan page. Your comments, welcome as well. Jim Bob Cooter was fired 16 days ago, and I expected the Lions, and we talked about this yesterday, to stay within house and do business the way they've been doing business under Bob Quinn, and that's play the game of buddy ball. And I maintain that this is a breath of fresh air. Whether Darrell Bevell gets the job done or not, we don't know, and we won't know. But you know what? The Lions proved us all wrong. The Lions didn't go buddy ball. The Lions didn't hire a Patricia crony or a Bob Quinn friend. And again, Quinn worked with Bevell in the 90s at UConn. But this is something where I think Bevell does fit what the Lions want to do, which is, you know, ground and pound, start establishing the run even more so than they've ever done. I also think that Darrell Bevell has experience, Super Bowl experience, winning experience, and unfortunately for Jim Bob Cooter, that's not something that he had. Now, as quarterbacks coach in Denver, Jim Bob Cooter had that, but not like Darrell Bevell in winning a Super Bowl and nearly winning another one out in Seattle. And we'll ask, of course, Ben all about, what happened at the Super Bowl in 2014-15. We'll ask Ben Baldwin about the infamous play call, and the pass play on second and goal where Marshawn Lynch probably should have run the football, but that's neither here nor there. I like the hiring. The more I think about it, I like it. So shoot me if I'm being positive. Tell me I'm a slappy. Call me a homer. I really was thinking the worst here. Because, number one, it's the Lions. Number two, every coach that's been hired has been either a Syracuse crony or a Bob Quinn crony or a Patriots crony. And I think it's a breath of fresh air. I think it's refreshing that Darrell Bevell's coming from a winning organization that doesn't rhyme with Matriots. And like I said yesterday, Pete Carroll entrusted in this guy for 7 years. Seven. So, here's the other thing I was thinking, though, on Darrell Bevell, and you tell me what you think about this. Now that Bevell is here and he fits the profile of ground game and run game, and you can call him conservative, call him whatever you want, but now the onus and the burden is going to be on Matthew Stafford from a Bob Quinn perspective. Because I truly believe now that Darrell Bevell's here, it's not like they hired a first-timer. It's not like they hired Shane Waldron from the Rams or anybody from the college game or a quarterback's coach that hasn't done it before. They're hiring a guy in Bevel that has a pedigree and a resume. So last year it was set up for Jim Bob Cooter to be the fall guy. And at the end of the season, the offense was a farce. It was a handcuffed mess and a handcuff express. Now, you just brought in Daryl Bevel. He's not going to get fired after 1 year. No way. He's got experience. He's got moxie. He's been around. So no matter how good or bad the defense is or anything else that happens, Stafford's going to be the fall guy this coming season and get all the criticism. I still maintain that number nine is not going anywhere. He's not going anywhere. But I think that's the next person that the organization will point the finger at, because now they've got most everybody in place that they believe, you know, will do the job. Daryl Bevel is just not some cheap party gag, newbie here running the show, running the offense. Daryl Bevel's been around. Daryl Bevel knows what he's doing. This is not some inexperienced dude here. And, you know, this is where the Lions are headed with this. Your thoughts on Twitter at Derry Speaks, D-E-R-Y Speaks, and the Matt Derry Facebook fan page as well. We will get to your thoughts momentarily and talk to Ben Baldwin from The Athletic in a second. First, I want to remind you, you want to come on board with us right here on Locked On Lions, it is simple. Send me an email if you're interested in advertising with us at DerrySpeaks@gmail.com. All right? Rob Hagerman from MBA Real Estate in Clarkston. We loved having Rob with us. Freddie the Pizza Man and, of course, his podcast, Real Talk Autism with his wife, Romina. Freddie's been with us from day one. We've had great sponsors. And if you want to come aboard with us, of course, our demographic and our listenership, basically males, 25 to 54. You want to reach an audience of men? Send us an email at DerrySpeaks, DerrySpeaks@gmail.com. All right, let's go out to Seattle right now. As promised, from The Athletic, covering the Seahawks for them and has covered the team for a while, is Ben Baldwin. Does an excellent job for The Athletic. Gives us a couple minutes now talking some Daryl Bevel. Hey, Ben.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Hey, no problem. So your reaction to Bevel getting a now third opportunity, of course, Minnesota, and then you guys, and now the Lions taking a year off. What can you tell the Lions fans about what they're getting here as OC?
I'm personally pretty happy. I don't think Bevel really got an opportunity to really do everything that he possibly could have done as an offensive coordinator in Seattle. They had a very bad offensive line for pretty much his entire tenure there. Pete Carroll is a head coach, as we've seen this past year, who by design wants his team to play pretty conservatively. So there were a bunch of constraints on him, and it felt like if you were in his position, it's really hard to design an offense with a line that can't pass block and a coach who wants to run the ball all the time. Maybe all those things will still apply in Detroit, but I'm rooting for him, and I'm glad that he did get another chance.
It's interesting you mentioned the constraints, because that's one thing that everybody here in Detroit talks about with Jim Bob Cooter this past season, and even Matthew Stafford was. It seems like the shackles were on per Bob Quinn upstairs and Matt Patricia on the sidelines. But it seems like, if Daryl was with Pete for 7 years, he must have been okay with it, right?
Yeah, I think there is certainly that to some extent, and to another extent, Seattle's offense was really good for a lot of those years. If you look at kind of efficiency metrics like DVOA, then they were a top seven offense the first four seasons that Russell Wilson was there, and then they kind of tailed off a little bit towards the end. And also, as an offensive coordinator, you're not going to have many quarterbacks that are better to work with than Russell Wilson, so that would also help keep him in town. Continuing with that, having Matt Stafford, he had a down year this past season, but if you were offered a job to coach an offense with Matt Stafford on it, then and at the NFL level, then you probably jump at that chance.
Ben Baldwin from TheAthletic.com covers the Seahawks, talking about Daryl Bevel. Why did he sit out this past season? Was there nobody out there that wanted to hire him even as a quality control guy or quarterback's coach, or do you think he wanted a year away?
That's a great question that I don't really know the answer to. If I had to guess, I would guess that he was ready for a year away. It was a lot of years that he was in Seattle, and maybe having some time off to kind of step back and regroup and come back a year later will turn out to be good for him. But as for what specific offers he had, I'm actually not sure if that's been reported or not.
Run game, everybody says Darrell Bevell's run first, obviously with Minnesota and Peterson, and then Seattle with Lynch. But I know you'd tell me if I asked you about 2016 that he opened up the playbook a little bit, didn't he?
Yeah, and even in 2015, Marshawn Lynch barely played that season. Seattle went through a bunch of different running backs that kept getting hurt, and the second half of that season was probably the best eight-game stretch of Russell Wilson's career. So it's not like Bevell is dependent on having a dominant rushing attack. And even in Seattle, a lot of Seattle's rushing stats are boosted by Russell Wilson scrambling, which isn't really what you think of when you think of designing an offense to run. So it'll definitely be different in Detroit not having a running threat at quarterback to the extent that Russell Wilson is.
How much did the offense change in the 7 years that he was there? And you're probably getting by, just judging from your tone now, Ben, and what you've said already, probably not much, but how much, you know, did he come up with maybe different things over the 7 years, or was it kind of like 2011 looked a lot like 2017?
So there's definitely some changes, and that's going to happen when, so Russell Wilson was drafted in 2012, and they didn't really open up the playbook for a while in his rookie season, which makes sense for a rookie quarterback. And then it was kind of over time, and as years went past, then I think the broader coaching staff trusted Russell Wilson more until this past season, where it doesn't really look like that's the case anymore. But yeah, there over time, Seattle started passing more often, and some of that was a result of not being able to run the ball the last couple of years that he was there. But yeah, there were certainly some changes over time, and it seems like he's willing to adapt to the different strengths of the offense, which is probably a good thing.
What about the use of the tight end? Certainly, Jimmy Graham was there for a long time, and Luke Wilson, who's here in Detroit now. What can you say about that?
Yeah, so the whole Jimmy Graham thing is kind of controversial with Seahawks fans. The first couple seasons he was in Seattle, he didn't score that many touchdowns, which in a lot of people's minds is what he was brought in there to do. But he was actually, even without the touchdowns, he was a very efficient, decently high volume, considering how much of Seattle's offense was passing at the time in both 2015 and 2016. So he can definitely use a tight end. Luke Wilson was there in Seattle when Bevell was there. He was never a player who demanded a high volume of targets, but he was someone who could be involved in offense at times. He's definitely someone who can integrate tight ends into the passing game.
Now, he lasted, Darrell Bevell did, Ben, three seasons after the infamous Super Bowl, goal line call. What does that say about this guy?
Yeah, there were many, many calls for him to be fired directly after that game, much like with Brian Schottenheimer after the most recent Seahawks playoff loss. One thing it says is Pete Carroll is very loyal to the people on his staff. Tom Cable, the former offensive line coach for the Seahawks, lasted way longer than he should have for the Seahawks. So the fact that Bevell lasted, I think in and of itself doesn't necessarily mean that he was doing a great idea or a great job, but I think the Seahawks staff was okay with calling a pass play in that situation, given the clock and all that, and they weren't going to get rid of a staff member for one play call, no matter how high profile it was.
So for all the years that you've been on the inside there, did Bevell call that play? Did Carroll call the play? What's the real story?
So I'm pretty sure what's been reported is Carroll wanted it to be a pass play. There were So this was second down, and they had one timeout left. So if they ran the ball and called the timeout, then they would be forced to call two pass plays no matter what, and New England would know it was coming. So they wanted to get a pass play in on second down. So everyone was on board with calling the play in the first place, or calling a pass play in the first place. The actual play design was probably from Bevel, and it was something the Seahawks had used before successfully, and that might not be a good thing if you put that on tape and come back to it. But at the same time, there's only so many goal line pass plays that you can run.
If we ask, we're talking to Ben Baldwin, by the way, covers the Seahawks for The Athletic. If we ask Russell Wilson about Bevel getting this opportunity, what would he say, and how would you kind of characterize that relationship, quarterback and offensive coordinator there?
I've heard both of them say nothing but good things about each other. One of the theories behind the Seahawks turning over their coaching staff was that they needed more quote-unquote accountability for Russell Wilson, whatever that means. So maybe their relationship wasn't one where I almost said Schottenheimer. I'm double can kind of push Russell Wilson in the way he needs to be pushed. There was a lot of focus on Schottenheimer coaching him on footwork and pocket mechanics and all these different things that reflect Schottenheimer's background as a quarterback coach that I don't know if he was getting from Bevel before. Everything I've heard was that that relationship was a very good relationship.
It sounds as if I put on KJR or any of the other stations out there that people would take Bevel back in a second after 1 year of a shoddy, right?
That is absolutely the sense that I have gotten from Seahawks fans. But people scapegoated Bevel a lot, and after seeing shoddy, then I think people are starting to kind of reassess their feelings of the Bevel era.
Now, I know you saw the Lions up close this year, and you figure now with Stafford, like you said, Kerryon Johnson as well with Daryl Bevel. How do you view Detroit from out in Seattle and now what Daryl Bevel is getting himself into?
Yeah, a lot of it has to do with how well they can pass protect, and I don't have a great sense of how the Lions are going to be. I think I remember from that game that the Seahawks were pretty successful in getting to Stafford and disrupting him and creating some turnovers. Kerryon Johnson's a good running back. They have some good receiving weapons. Matt Stafford has had good seasons, and he's still not that old. So I would be, if they can get pass protection, I would be cautiously optimistic that they could be a decent to good offense.
Ben, appreciate the time, my friend. We'll do it again.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, there he is, Ben Baldwin from theathletic.com. Read his stuff there. Follow him on Twitter as well, at Ben B. Baldwin. We appreciate his time. Talking about Daryl Bevel, very, very interesting. As Ben just said, the shackles at times were on Daryl Bevel as he was offensive coordinator in Seattle. Doesn't that sound eerily familiar to Jim Bob Cooter? Well, I hope they let... You know, you heard what Ben said. Well, I hope they let the shackles off of Daryl Bevel because that's what happened to him in Seattle. Oh, great. Just great. That's what happened to Jim Bob here. Isn't that crazy? All right, tweets coming in a second. We'll read some of your responses and some of your reactions to the Daryl Bevel hiring as offensive coordinator momentarily. Lions, by the way, still looking for a special teams coordinator. I'm guessing Danny Crossman. Guessing. The former Lions special teams coordinator who just got fired by Buffalo. But that's neither here nor there. We'll see if that occurs. Hey, don't forget to check out Matt Shook's Locked On Pistons each and every day right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. All you Pistons fans out there want some good content daily. Matt Shook brings it to you. Locked On Pistons is on the Locked On Podcast Network. Right here. All right, some tweets coming in at Derry Speaks, D-E-R-Y Speaks. David Wojcik says, I like the hire, good track record. No matter who they hired, most live to be angry Lions fans wouldn't be happy. Oh, it's about 50-50 split on this. Joseph Stiegel says, Matt, it's trash. Just like everything else this team does half the time. No taking chances. Ouch. Ouch. Rupam Chowdhury, good to have you back, Matt. Man, your vitriol against the Lions was getting a little tough to listen to. What do you want me to say? This team went 6-10, and they were a dumpster fire this year. And great candidates for offensive coordinator were going by the wayside. This team was dragging its feet. At least that's what it appeared. I don't know about vitriol. I'm rooting for the Lions. I hope they do well. I hope this works out. But come on now. At Josh Sanders says, breaking news, Daryl Bevel brings power run game prowess. Lions to make Zach Zenner new featured running back. Cough, cough. Zach Zenner earned a spot on this team last year. Here's Maurice. I enjoy listening to your podcast, but it's like you do the hot take pessimistic view and run with it. Just like, wait it out, LOL. You took Godsey and ran with it and was thinking it was in the bag and everything we do is underwhelming. Oh my gosh. Everything they do is underwhelming. They've won one playoff game in 61 years. I'm trying to be patient. I'm trying to be positive. This is year three of Bob Quinn. Matt Patricia came in here and the team lost 10 football games. 10. And the division was terrible this year. Minnesota was a mess. Green Bay was a mess. The Bears had a terrific regular season, only to lose in the first round of the playoffs. And they've got a rookie quarterback, or second-year quarterback in Trubisky. Vitriol, and you're so negative. What do you want me to say? This team's got to prove it and start winning football games. And stop acting like they're the smartest guys in the room. The smugness, the cockiness of this operation. Come on. But I'm going to give them a nod here, and I'm going to tell you that I think Daryl Bevel was a decent hire. And I'm willing to give him a chance. All right, that'll do it for another edition of Locked On Lions. Thanks to Ben Baldwin from TheAthletic.com in Seattle. Thanks to you for listening. We'll talk to you again on a Monday, folks. Locked On Lions right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Love you guys.